Hello, welcome to Stomach Walk Glitchy Podcast. It's not popular. Episode 226. My name is Justin.
And mine's Helen.
We're finally getting to the end of summer. It's I'm starting to feel it right now. It's like, oh no. Summer's already almost over.
I'm happy because it means that the temperature has gone down to something livable around here.
I know what you're saying, but like there are some things I was able to enjoy in the summertime, and now that that's over, it's now like, oh yeah, time to get back to work, as in working a certain amount of days every day. Oh no. But that's just, I guess, first world problems, I guess. How you been, Helen? How's everything been for the past few weeks?
I mean, normally I'd be talking about how I'm watching even more anime, but I think I fit all of the anime I can watch currently into my schedule at this point, and there's just not room for any more. I'm just struggling to keep up with things as they are. Although the fact that Remao keeps forgetting to delete videos after they've been up for a week on their YouTube channel has definitely been helping me on catching up on a couple of things. I don't know if they've forgotten or if someone is rebelling or what, but that has definitely been helping me. Just try to keep up with everything I'm already watching. Since otherwise, I did catch K-pop Demon Hunters when it first premiered on Netflix earlier in the summer. We didn't talk about it because I think that was right around when we were doing like our spring wrap up and our summer season starter. But I did catch it then, and so I did go to one of the sing-along showings near me a couple weekends back. I did not sing because I am incapable of carrying a tune in a bucket. Just, it's real bad. I can tell if somebody else is on tune or off tune, but I cannot do it for myself. There wasn't too much singing in my theater anyway, but I wanted to see the movie on the big screen since I thought, oh, this will probably be really fun on a big screen with, you know, the action sequences and the music. But the sound mix just sounded like the way it did on my computer, kind of like it was set up to come out of like two speakers, a left and a right. Well, I was hoping for something a bit more like, you know, that immersive surround sound experience at the theater, but it didn't sound like that, so I guess they just didn't make a mix like it for that, which made me a little bummed, since, you know, that was, again, part of the reason I wanted to catch it, because I thought, oh, the sound will probably sound really nice. But I don't
know. You just had a bigger screen instead.
Yeah, I just had a bigger screen instead, and it was funny, since I saw the movie once, and then I bought parts of the songs, parts of the soundtrack, and so I've been listening to those, but I hadn't, like, rewatched the movie, so I'm seeing the lyrics come up on screen for the sing-along portion and going, oh, I've been getting some of those lyrics wrong the whole time in my head. like I'd been thinking it was something similar, but not exactly what it was. I still need to find a version, though, where they actually translate the Korean and the songs into English, because I want to know what the whole song says, you know? I don't speak Korean. Other than that, been catching up with Genshin Impact quests, which I hadn't been doing a lot this summer since I was trying to focus more on sewing, and I know that once I start playing Genshin, I tend to get sucked into playing Genshin for several hours, which is not conducive to doing literally anything else that day. So I'm catching up on some of those quests so I can be ready for the new big expansion in a couple of weeks. Pray for my iPad. I'm going to have to figure out how to cram even more Genshin onto it. My iPad is over 50% Genshin at this point. It's like a 64 gigabyte iPad with like 35 gigabytes of Genshin on it. And mine is like the last model of iPad. No, sorry. The oldest model of iPad that is going to be supported to play it going forward for this next year. So it's like, well, I got to figure out how to make this work since I don't have any consoles. They don't have a Mac version of the computer one, so we're just gonna have to struggle through it.
Well, since you mentioned it with K-pop Demon Hunters, congratulations on also being part of the millions, and I mean millions, that I've actually seen it on Netflix.
Yeah,
over some of my friends that I watched it too, and we liked it a lot, I think.
It is very fun.
One of my friends was just really into that. I was like, oh man. But no, it was a really good film, really good.
I've been listening to a couple of different podcasts talk about it, like NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour team was talking about it, and one person pointed out that, it's really hard to make a movie about music and write music, which sounds like, oh yeah, this actually would be like a pop hit, in the real world. But they pr did it pretty well here. Like, it was very obvious. It was like, oh yeah, no, these are actual catchy songs. I actually really like these. I maintain that someone could do a really fun drag performance to Your Idol, probably because all the drag performances I'm used to seeing around here are already like on the more subversive side of things, but I could see someone just totally hamming it up to that number. And some people are saying, oh, is Soda Pop the actual song of the summer? And like, maybe it is, but it's like, oh, that is one with so much innuendo in it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's Jiraiya for me the past few weeks. Still real life busy, but then also yes, finding time to watch or try to watch more summer anime. Just like you, I just still overwhelmed.
I didn't even know you had time to watch
But
summer anime because you're just texting me about how much Conan there is. Like, you thought you had caught up, and then they dump more Conan like the same day.
well, it's more like, oh yeah, Conan Saturday, Cinema Saturdays, and then oh, we got the Conan collection, which I just wrapped up. Then oh yeah, more Conan Cinema Saturdays. They just announced their latest round, which I'll talk about later. But yeah, it's like I guess it's all Conan all the time for me. And I guess it's on that note since you brought it up. Yes, I essentially finished Detective Conan Collection 1. This basically comprises some of the more standout episodes of the Conan versus the Black Organization saga. There's so many of them that are out there, but obviously, or at least for TMS's case, they thought these were, I guess, the best ones to kind of introduce to a newer crowd or to that would stand out compared to everybody else, which is debatable. It's a little tough because it's like you're basically putting forth like episodes that are somewhat connected. Like you watch them all, they are connected in some way. Obviously, the first two episodes it just establishes Conan being turned into a kid, or Shinichi being turned into Conan, to be more accurate. And then after that, it's just picking and choosing. Okay, how do you get to part A, to part B, to part C, till we get to the remaining part, which was the Black Impact arc or the Black Impact episode, which is basically 2 hours long. In fact, the final two episodes that they had was 2 hours long. So it's like, okay, they dropped five episodes. They have Shinichi and Ran in New York. They have that case, which three normal episodes of 23 or 22, whatever minutes. Then the final two episodes are like basically 2 hours long. Really, like, and then they did the same thing. We had like an hour, a 2 hour special for one of them. So I think in total it was like 24 episodes. Maybe just count it by hours, like put out there, which is solid. But you just realize that okay, they have to kind of like cut some stuff out, make some allusions to some certain cases or moments, or in this episode, it's like where'd that come from? So in some ways, it's a little awkward. For me, it's a little different because I obviously watched these eons ago. So I can say I can't say like I forgot. Or, I mean, I can't say like remember that strongly most of these, but at the same time, like I know I've seen it before, so it's like okay, it feels familiar to me. But obviously, the main difference is that again, TMS is trying to rebrand with instead of Case Closed and now Detective Conan, and obviously the pilot is the all new dub. Again, they it's like the fourth or fifth attempt of them trying to like dub this series. And I think Studio Nano, who's the dubbing company behind this one, they did a pretty good job. I think they've nailed like that tone between like having obviously Shinichi and then obviously having Conan, and I guess a balance where they have to make sure they have these voice actors because obviously for the most part of the series it's just Conan as a kid, but then they also make sure to have the balance between okay, we're gonna have Shinichi, we're gonna have Conan, and then that's how it works. So yeah, I think in general the voice cast is really good. One of the characters, I guess, voice actor Nick Huber. I could be wrong about the first name of that, but he's the voice of Gin, one of the very most notable villains in this series. Obviously, you have many type of villains, mostly crime related, everything that's through like a series or episode, or whatever like that. But then obviously for the long term, major character, so mysterious, just somehow is able to just sneak up on people just like that, just like almost like a super villain or something like that, like some sort of power, yeah, whatever powers, whatever. But really, he really stands out. I think the past was pretty good. So yeah, I had a good time with the dub. obviously it's just a case of what's going to happen moving forward, because I think that obviously they're done with the Black organization for now. If obviously if this is a successful collection, maybe in the future they could do obviously some of the more other the other episodes involving them and make that official. But I'm not going to speculate on what's going to be next. I already kind of did that with other podcasts, I guess. I'm just wondering if this is hitting like what how it should. I think it helps that it's on Netflix and Crunchyroll. I do wonder if the advertisement is enough. Like, you have obviously the dub voice actors promoting and everything, but you wonder if TMS is doing enough to just get this out there. Could it be on another streaming platform like Hulu or anything like that?
Well, Hulu's
Just
only going
questions
to
like
exist
that.
for so much longer.
Right, like Hulu, Disney, whatever, one of the, yeah. But basically, it's like, is
I
it, I
would
guess if you're
joke,
going to.
Disney for kids, but then I remember all the stuff that's in actual Disney movies, and it's like, yeah, I see no
Yeah.
problems here.
So obviously he's a big as somebody's just wanting more Conan and everything. Obviously I'm gonna support the next collection as much as possible, but I kind of wonder if TMS is doing enough to get people. And I think also again, whether the choices worked or not, just getting official episodes of the series out there is very important. So I just hope it works. I think maybe. It'll depend on what direction they go next moving forward, but for now, I think this is a solid start. I won't say this is perfect or anything like that, but yeah, pretty solid. I can obviously share more thoughts about the Conan collection, but I have other anime I did get to watch, especially again, more summer anime. But I say that I'm watching summer anime, but it's like I'm just always behind on everything. Like, all the shows I talk about, like the prior episodes, I'm just like behind on, except like one show. Well, now two shows, but that's that really just one show, one new show, the Mikadono Sisters. That's really the only one I sort of current with, except this last episode
Just
that
the
came out
harem
for episode
anime. T
9.
telling a lot about yourself,
Make,
Justin.
make, makes makes perfect sense, right? But then everything else I'm just way behind on. But I did get a chance to start one more new anime, Captivated by You. This is the second Yamba title that's return to anime. Let's Go Karaoke is the other one, which I kind of enjoyed. I had been fun with the first two episodes, and I watched the first two episodes of Captivated by You. It's bizarre in a normal but odd way. Basically, the premise is more short story collection or a series of stories revolving around a character named Hayashi, who's kind of weird. He's mostly like in all he is like in an all-boys school with a bunch of other guys, obviously, and he is kind of known as kind of this weird guy that most people don't really associate with. But there are obviously characters that are captivated, whether they admit it or not, they're captivated by him. We follow, in fact, one student who's just who thinks he's not adorable. Like, there was this joke that was in the first episode where they had like this festival. None of the boys cared about the festival. They just did their little thing. Like one time, like there was this one part where they were supposed to like do a relay race, but nobody actually took it seriously. So on that sort of seriousness, they would have to play this game where they had to like find somebody to do whatever was on this paper they pulled out with the hat. And the main character was supposed to find somebody adorable, but he ends up finding
Yeah,
Hayashi,
like a classic of
all
like a
the.
school sports festival,
Yeah,
a classic rom-com
yeah.
trope.
But he ends up finding him like wrapped in like these like a volleyball net or something, one of those type of nets or something like that somehow. And he's like, okay, I don't feel like looking for anybody else. You'll do. I'll take you. And since then, Hayashi's just been like, am I adorable? Am I adorable? At literally every moment. I'm in class. If he's in class reading a book, the teacher takes the book away. Hayashi looks at the guy like, am I adorable? Was we reading the book adorable? Even when taking a bath, like taking a leak in the bathroom, like the same day, like, bruh, I'm trying to do my business. Why are you bugging me? The second episode ends up involving somebody else. She's from an all-girls school, and this is a random happenstance where she did kind of appear in the first episode, like one of the side, like a side thing. So you wouldn't really know she would be a main character, but then you go to the seventh episode. And she steps out, and she's the main focus, and she ends up running to Hayashi because Hayashi's somebody who has his own, like, It's not quite called, I guess they, I don't know if they called it X or not. I wasn't paying attention if they had a fake X or Twitter or whatever. I didn't know what they called it, but it was a social media SNS account. That he actually, for some reason, is just taking like pictures of signs around like his area or whatever. And she notices that the area he's taking pictures that is around his her ward. So she ends up interacting with him, and then they kind of was like, oh yeah, maybe we'll meet up at some point. And then as soon as she gets on the bus trying to get to school or whatever, she ends up seeing a guy taking pictures of a sign, and she says, "Are you the guy I've seen on my SNS?" I really should have remembered the name. It's so silly. And her name is like the three potato person, and like what? What kind of a name is that? Kind of a username is that? But yes, the long story short is they obviously talk, and then she is essentially captivated by this Hayashi guy. Now, captivated in what way? Who knows? But she's not the only one. There's also like art student who gets captivated by Hayashi, and I assume that's what this is gonna be about. I'm not sure how long this is gonna ride. I believe it's also gonna be short, just as like Let's Go Karaoke. So, from what I watched, it wasn't bad or anything like that. I'm kind of interested. It's not quite like My Horror Boy School or anything like that. It's definitely a lot different. But you just see the whole type of things that only guys would try to get away with in school a little bit. So, not too bad, I think. Obviously, with it being pretty short, I probably would finish that to the end too. But other than that, again, I watched two episodes, hoping to watch more of these, but watched the episodes of Dr. Stone Season 4 Part 2, which is again the crew now trying to head to South America because they got to make sure they can defeat Y-Man, but also escape Stan Lee's clutches. I don't want to get in that guy's clutches because he's dangerous. So is his crew. They're pretty dangerous.
I mean, Stan Lee is dead, so.
That's Stan Lee, I can't believe we got the. I
I thought that's
emphasized the
where we were going.
Y.
I thought it was joke.
No, I'm going with the Stan, the one of the characters, one of the main villains is Stan Lee, not the Marvel, not the Marvel guy, not him. So yeah, watching once again Senku and crew, how the heck they're gonna get out of this one, or what they can find in time and everything. And I'm finally watching the first episodes of Hanako-kun today, season two, part two. Today, again, it's a case where Helen talked about this last time. Is it season three or is it season two, part two? Who knows? It's one or the other. But the fact that Crunchyroll is kind of continuing it as a season still two, I guess I'm gonna just keep it like that. So, yeah, just the first episode. So, our mysterious girl has been captured. That one girl who just seems to know everything, and then it stuff starts to happen. She's been captured. Oh no, and Helen, she has different personalities, doesn't she? She definitely has it, right? Is that what is that always is that what's happening here?
I mean, like, the person who
Don't
kidnapped.
spoil me. Don't spoil me.
Why are you asking me questions? And if you don't want answers,
I
it's one thing if you're just posting and I'm having to restrain myself from spoiling things, but when you were deliberately asking me questions, that's just rude,
mean,
Justin.
but no, we have the obviously the six wonders showing up. We now have situations where it's like, okay, things are getting out of control here. Apparitions showing up all over the place. We need to resolve
It's
this.
Obon
Hakukun.
time.
Yeah. So yeah, so I'm having a good time so far. Again, I love Hakukun. It's really good. Just really good. So yeah, now no further thoughts. We'll obviously have further thoughts when the with the final impressions late or early October. Actually, probably early October at this rate. And yeah, that's a summer anime season for me. Let's see, Flavor Flower is gonna air next week. I have no idea if I'm gonna watch City or Panty and Stocking because that's on Amazon Prime. So I suppose I was gonna watch Grand Blue. I'm not sure I am. So I think that's a summer season for me. Maybe Clevetus. I hear it's been getting pretty good, so I
I've been
might add
enjoying
that too. But
Clevetus. Like, it is edgelord fantasy, but you know how sometimes it feels like the gore and like any sexual assault is there to titillate the viewer? Here it feels more like it's just sort of a byproduct of like the setting. It feels less. It's like, well, this might still titillate you, but we've got some questions if this is titillating you. you know.
Okay. But yeah, that's another one that I'm guess I'm seeing from afar. I'm like, oh, I guess maybe we're liking it. I guess maybe we should add it. But again, so much anime this season, and I got so much manga and stuff I want to read. So it's like, I don't know. I have no idea.
There's always too much. Always.
Yeah.
All right, then. So speaking of too
Speaking
much,
Yeah, speaking of too much, oh God.
we've got a decent amount of news this time around, and then a lot of licenses since Anime New York City happened, and everybody goes all out there. But starting with the news, in a theme that we've been talking about for several months now, once again, U.S. tariffs are set to go into effect, or were set to go into effect this past Friday on goods and services, well, just in this case, goods produced outside of the United States. Everything has tariffs. I don't believe anything is fully excluded from tariffs. And more critically to the two of us, what was previously known as the de minimis exemption, which meant that packages with a value of under $800 could enter tax and duty free, has been revoked. There is now no threshold. If you order a $3 keychain off of AliExpress, that is still going to get taxed. How much is it? That is one of the questions, since there are rates that are being set for various countries, but there's also some things saying, oh, if they ship via the international postal system, which is like US Post, Canada Post, that sort of thing, they might not be restricted to that, or you might get charged a fee between $10 and $80 per item. No, they refuse to give any of us more answers about this. I'm in so many different group chats with like somebody in Canada who owns a small business who's like, okay, here's what UPS is telling us, and just like providing slides from the UPS presentation and just absolutely fucking bonkers numbers. So, in light of all this being so damn confusing, quite a few countries have straight up said we are no longer going to be shipping to the United States via our own postal service. Since one of the other things about this whole tariff thingamajig is that normally, if you're a country that has tariffs and duties, when the item comes into the country and is processed, you know, at customs, then its value will be assessed and you will be billed for it, for whatever taxes and fees you pay owe on it. The US doesn't want to fund the Postal Service and any other agencies who would be doing this enough to do this, and now they are saying, no, you large seller, small seller, whoever overseas, you need to calculate these fees and then also figure out a way to remit them to the US government. How? That one also seems to be TBD. So, rather understandably, plenty of international postal services have said, we're just suspending this to the US right now, with maybe some exceptions. The one most important for this podcast is that Japan Post has announced that it's going to be suspending package delivery to the US for packages exceeding $100 in value for consumer goods. You might still be able to send like a gift from a friend to another, but that's going to be kind of weird. You know, we're not sure how well that's going to work yet. So personal items valued under $100 and small EMS packages will still be accepted for delivery. There are some other like third-party shippers that are still going to do stuff since they are planning to partner with like UPS instead of USPS. Like I think I saw one for like Yamato, but this is just very confusing. So the Good Smile company has announced that it's temporarily suspending shipments from its store to the US, and we're expecting that some companies probably will figure out how to handle this, which will probably involve more bulk imports of stock to their own US-based warehouses if they have them. But that will probably make prices go up again because then the companies will be directly paying any tariffs on bulk purchases they bring in. And the way they'll offset that is by, you know, raising prices for the consumers. Just, it's gonna be really confusing and annoying. And also especially annoying since like the US dollar is really strong against the yen right now, but this is going to like completely obliterate any savings any of us might have gotten from like buying cheaper stuff in Japan. Am I contemplating the next time I need a wig from a non-US-based wig maker that I contact a friend of a friend in Canada, have it shipped there, have the friend pick it up from Vancouver and then mail it to me from within the US? Yes, I abso-fucking-lutely am. But hopefully this gets walked back. If the markets freak out over this, then we might walk it back, since that seems to be the pattern so far. But for the meantime, just this is real fucking annoying, and it sounds like some other countries in the world have stopped accepting packages from the US in retaliation, but I'm having a harder time finding documentation or, verified news reports on that yet. But it does sound like some other countries are thinking, no, fuck you, which
Yeah, because
can't blame
at
them.
this rate, it's a, yeah, like for real, like at this point, they don't know what's gonna actually happen. Like, there've been so many wishy-washy things and changes and everything. So it's like, why do I have to deal with? The country's really like, why do I have to deal with this? I don't know. Until you guys actually know what the heck is going on, we're just gonna stop.
Take advantage of the
Anything
fact
significantly
that this is
happening
not
here.
your country, and you don't have to deal with it. That's what I'm saying right now, as somebody who does have to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been very interesting just to see like how companies have been responding, I guess manga anime wise. Like, I don't think you really notice this like in terms of like buying like manga or anime right now, but I do wonder if it's like affecting what companies trust decide they want to license and everything. I'm trying to remember if there was like a panel.
Probably
There was
not,
I
since,
think
like, I know that
ups.
after COVID, a lot of manga publishers switched to printing in the US if possible, just because of all the delays and stuff. So whenever I look at a volume of manga that I bought recently, it usually does still say printed in the US instead of any
That's
other mixture of
interesting.
companies.
I
I
especially
don't
feel like
yeah, but I don't know where Blu-rays are pressed. If they're pressed in the US, that would be less of a problem. But of course, then you start getting into eventually, you need raw materials for the paper, a lot of that comes from Canada or whatever the fuck you put into Blu-rays. Petroleum, plastic, I guess. Since I know the US
Right.
does mine a lot of oil, but we tend to ship it all out crude directly to other countries to refine, and so then we import back refined crude, which is weird for many reasons, but anyway.
Right. Yeah, I do know, especially like Seven Seas, they're like, I've seen most of their stuff they get printed in Canada for sure.
And we're
I
supposed
know
to have
J.
some exemptions there because of the whatever the fuck we're calling the new NAFTA thing, but that might not even
Okay.
be in play. That one is still kind
Right.
of TBD, which is.
Yeah, again, too much like uncertainty, too much nothing in fine print or like just set and everything, and that's just so confusing and just very frustrating.
And that's why the markets, by which I mean like the stock market, does not like this.
I was gonna mention like I think one of the panels went to Anime City. I want to say, don't quote me on this because I believe this was one of the I think that was a recommendations panel. Like a bunch of publishers, they had like a joint panel where it was recommending like all the save titles just being put out there. It's just really save titles from what I remember. I think Viz, I think they had one of the editors. She was saying like how I think the tariffs has kind of affected like exactly certain things, certain aspects. I think it was actually I think it was probably one of the questionnaires from one of these panels. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know this was asked. So there was concerns about that, but of course, again, the big problem is just don't know. There's so much uncertainty right now. It's just like, how do you, and I'm pretty sure this is all like, why is this taking so long to get released? Like, we're gonna talk about some licenses that are coming in late 2026, and it's like, why? I'm pretty sure the tariffs are actually probably playing a bit of a role in that. Like, obviously, you got your publishing schedules and everything, but then you have the uncertainty of this, and then you wonder how much you have to raise your prices. And then, especially for Viz, for example, they kind of just raised their prices like not that long ago. I want to say it was either last year or early this year. It
They're
wasn't that
even,
long ago they just raised it.
this is even raising the price of some of their digital services like the Viz Manga and the Shonen Jump subscriptions. So on my Blue Sky timeline, at least people were joking, ugh, tariffs have even hit digital goods now, which is clearly not the case, but grumbling was still bad.
I mean, you're probably not wrong. I'm probably not wrong, but I just feel like things are like a trickle down effect. If one aspect's being affected in some other way, another aspect's gonna get affected. Because just there's so much uncertainty about what's happening right now. It's just like, oh yeah, why did video game companies raise the prices of this? And oh, why are they doing that? And well, that's one thing, and then it could affect another thing. So I wouldn't. I guess you would know better more than me. It's just I feel like lots of things are getting affected because of just this uncertainty. So Yeah, it's just very it's just a mess. It really is. I'm not sure I can add anything else. It's whether we actually have companies like publishing companies, manga companies say it themselves that they're affected, we will definitely talk about this. Maybe if something else in this line shows up, maybe we'll bring it up again. But yeah, I think we might be done talking about this for the foreseeable future, unless we get a note that says that yes, no more tariffs, and then that'll be different.
Yeah, I was gonna say we might be able to look at things like book scan numbers, but if I recall correctly, I think that it was some group, like the Comics Journal or something, who said they're no longer gonna be able to report on book scan numbers due to, I think, like
Comics, yep, comic,
changes.
yep, comics beat. They the beat.
Yep,
They
that's what it was.
were told do book scan is not gonna allow it because I think there was publishers who just want the numbers themselves. Okay, I might be wrong with that, but I don't know if it was book scan who just said no, they were not gonna provide the numbers to that. So but yeah, the beat used to do this whole report every year. What's like the top seller was was it Tilting Windmill or something like that. Every year they would dutifully they would point out what's been selling in all the graphic novels, manga, etc. But now we don't have that anymore, so we can really only go by, oh yeah, how many cosplays do you see at that convention? Okay, I'm kidding, sort of.
Which is
But
definitely not a reliable indicator for things. There are trends there which the cosplay community discusses at length about, oh, why do some things get more cosplays than others? And it has a lot more to do with designs than anything else. But also of discussion in the communities is, how is this going to affect everyone who tends to not make their cosplays but just buy, relatively cheap ones off of,
Just
places
Durantis, right?
that
Anywhere?
contract from Chinese factories. It's like, I bet a lot of those are going to go down. Or some friends of mine who have been trying to offload things like some old wigs, old cosplays on secondhand reselling sites are saying, I'm actually seeing activity on my listings for once. People are actually contacting me to buy things. So we are joking that if you have like excess wigs on hand, like in certain shades, like you're about to be sitting on like things are going to retain more value than your 401k. So.
All right, Helen, I'm gonna transition over to really unfortunate news. Obviously, we're hoping for the best for Mike McFarlane. But as a refresher, he had to have surgery for a brain for his he had brain surgery early in the year, like it was early January, late January, January's. But and it sounded like it was successful, like everything well. But obviously, he had aftercare costs, and he wanted to make sure everything's good. So he had a GoFundMe. He and I guess his family did a GoFundMe, or I think from what I was looking at the thing, a couple of voice actors started a GoFundMe so he can assist because he's a longtime veteran. The voice acting, pretty much everybody knows who he is and what he's done to within the industry. So he wanted to help out. So I guess things were going well enough. But then around April, he was, I think he had like a sinus or. Yeah, he only had an ear infection, but then when he went to the doctor in April, it actually turned out to be a brain tumor. Yikes. So they had to have a second brain surgery to look at an unknown infection. And again, looked like just from various, like, looking on Twitter, like, I checked his Twitter account and everything. Okay, he was still like, mostly fine. He was able to still walk around, obviously. So I take things easy, but he was still going to convention and everything. But then on August, he had to announce, and he was, from what it was sound like, he didn't want to really share it, but he was encouraged to do so, that he has been diagnosed with glioblastoma. It's a brain cancer that enriches the growth of cells in the brain or spinal cord. So after attempting assisted living, he's again in the hospital and is moving to a skilled nursing facility to continue treatment. So yes, right now there's again more funds is necessary. It looks like they beat the original goal. It was originally 200,000. It's now it was raised to two. It's now 226,405 dollars raised. So from that perspective, things are looking good. But again, it's really tough to hear. Like you just hope that obviously he can come through and then things again can improve and stuff like that. Because just. Yeah, just not sound great. Like he was hoping that the surgery would be that's it, taken care of. But no, unfortunately, things just changed just like that. So really hoping for the best for Mike and his family for sure.
Let's see. And other more unfortunate news. The manga Hoshikun, Koroshi, and Eganaro has been canceled due to various circumstances. This was being put out by, or this was Arata Yamaji's manga. The various circumstances aren't really detailed, but that they've led Yamaji to only be able to work on the manga intermittently since it started back in February 2024. So, sounds like either something's come up in his life that's him, her, them. Sounds like something's come up in their life, which maybe has left them really busy. Maybe it is a medical issue, but
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
hopefully, whatever it is settles down. This sounds probably like it's not what you want to be happening in your life if you were a mangaka. And then, let's see, we've also got a couple of obituaries. Shohei Harumoto passed away last month. They were also a mangaka, the creator of Crazy Bloodline Now, a manga about a woman on a motorcycle, which was currently serializing, and the manga publisher? Young King. The manga magazine it was being serialized in is going to announce future plans for it in the future. Maybe it will end just where it did. Maybe it'll be picked up by somebody else. Don't know yet.
Depends,
TBD.
yeah, depends if the author like had like any chapters like left that were almost ready or anything like that. Yeah, it's gonna depend on I guess what they decide
Yeah,
with this really.
they don't give a cause for death aside from they had been recovering from an illness, and they don't give an age for Harumoto, but it does say that they launched their first manga, Kirin, in the a motorcycle racing manga in Motor Magazine's Mr. Bike BG magazine in 1987. So definitely not a young creator, but still sounds like it was unexpected and sudden. And then the account on the website formerly known as Twitter for Kadokawa's monthly comic Denki Daioh magazine announced that manga creator Shino had died back in June. The magazine has been currently serializing Shino's Boku to Gyaru Kimi ga Fufu ni Naru Made manga.
This one was really sad. For a while, I was just looking at ANN. They only had one creator page. Sorry, one manga listed, and it was this one. So it really just suggests that this was their first like start in like publishing. I guess it's possible they could have been obviously more published. They published more stuff, but I guess to the official publishing, it was just like their first one. So really, it was just the artists that sound like they're just getting started, and now they're not here, and that's just really sad to me.
Yeah, so you think they were kind of a newer creator as well, then?
That's what I'm thinking.
Or I should say younger creator, not newer. Obviously, if this is.
Well, younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got you. I got you. Yeah, that was. So you just get like, oh man, that's just. It's just the. Just like that. Just, oh yeah, life is. Yeah. It's fleeting and everything. And then just like that, it could just end. Just, you never know when, really.
And then our final obituary is that APTE Apte. For some reason, I cannot figure out how to pronounce any of these company names today. Starting with before the podcast, Apte Pro announced that its president, CEO, and also voice actor Takayahashi died from a heart attack on August 27th at the age of 72. He had joined the Seinenza Theater Company before becoming a voice actor and later became the president and CEO of this talent agency. He was in Fist of the North Star, One Piece, Fate Grand Carnival, Spy Family, Detective Conan, Cowboy Bebop, just lots of things over the years, as you would expect from somebody who was 72. And well known enough that ANN has a couple of different articles up of various creators, voice actors, and companies sending their condolences.
Yeah, because you obviously he was a voice actor that was had some fairly iconic roles, especially Fist of North Star as Toki. So he's known for that. But then obviously he was a president CEO of a voice acting agency, so that meant that he's nurtured a number of voice actors over the years, or I should even say years, decades. So yeah, lots of people are definitely sad to hear this news, and obviously this is they're tough news to hear too, because again, it sounded like it was pretty sudden as well. So send my condolences to his family and friends for sure.
All right.
Right. Yeah, we're gonna. It's always tough to when you have the death, and then we gotta transition over to the licenses, but we're gonna transition over to the quote unquote licenses, which, if you look at the license section, it's actually very few. It's like, what? Just only two licenses? There's a reason for that, isn't it?
Yeah, I scrolled too far and I got to the ANN thoughts and licenses before I re remembered. Oh, yeah, we had a couple of non-announced at AM in New York City licenses, which were kind of big ones, actually. As Justin puts down here, another anime has escaped the Netflix complex. Anime Limited is going to be partnering with Shout Studios to release Devilman Crybaby anime on Blu-ray on December 9th. I don't know how expensive this one is since I didn't look at it, but I know that I definitely had a bunch of friends who went, okay, immediately pre-ordered. I know some
Yeah,
people are
this is
also ordering the Cyberpunk release that's coming out soon from Aniplex of America,
maybe.
but I saw more
Maybe.
complaining about that one price-wise.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's like, Aniplex, why do you do this to us people? Why do you just do why?
I mean, I was telling
That's
Justin, look how reasonable they're being this time. It's only $10 an episode.
the ugh. But yeah, meanwhile, Shout Factory and Anime Limited, it's like, yeah, we got you guys, we got you. Nice limited edition of Devilman Crybaby, all these nice features and everything you're gonna want. I didn't check if it was reasonably priced, but I'm gonna assume it's more reasonably priced than Aniplex. That is for sure. But
Everybody,
yes,
bring
as
back all of your memes about the Devilman OP. Like, those were good memes. We need them back.
but so we just L Little Witch Academia, My Happy Marriage, Call Me Can't Communicate. What's some more missing from Netflix that's got to get off there? We're getting there, Helen.
Yeah,
We're getting
I've
there.
accepted that there's a couple titles on there that I like that will probably never come off, like Dragon
You just
Pilot,
gotta
Eco, just never gonna happen.
you just got to believe in the
I'm
heart
gonna
of
give
the
up, Justin.
home
I'm
media.
gonna give it up. I think they've let me down.
But Helen, yeah, always announced the Anime X City, but I'm wondering if any of this really tops the announcement that happened during Anime New York City. Like, I think it's happened on a Thursday, but it was not actually announced on anime, at a convention there. It wasn't like announced at a panel thing over there. It was just announced as like I guess an exclusive on like I think the Beat, and then eventually kind of sent the press release, and I was flabbergasted. I almost fell out my chair. I literally was just like,
Once
had
again,
to
Justin
trip.
sent the news to me with a GIF reaction, which is becoming more common these days, but still shows the amount of shock Justin has when he actually sends me a
So
GIF.
Naoki Urasawa and Takashi Nagasaki's Billy Bat. This was like, I think this was like 2020, 2005. I think I should check. Sorry, give me a second or two, because why is it popping up like that? I don't watch this system like forever, and it gives me this option. This started in 2008. Okay, I said 2005. 2008. It finished in 2016. No, there was radio silence for years. Like, the one publisher you would have thought would have published it, Viz, they couldn't publish it because it was published in Kodansha's magazine.
Yeah, that I didn't
And
actually
then I was.
realize until this got licensed and somebody finally mentioned it, because I know people for years have been saying license Billy Bat, and it's like, oh, that's probably part of the reason why.
Yeah, like, if this is like 100%, if it was not in Kodansha magazine, Viz would have 100% gotten it, but because it was, they could not actually get the rights to it. I think it's like maybe like a partnership thing, because obviously they have Shogakukan, they have Shueisha, and then it's like you have to work really hard to try to get like anything from anywhere else, I think. So the fact that this was like not, they couldn't get it from there, is like, okay, Kodansha's gotta bring it up, but then Kodansha themselves didn't want to publish it. So all of a sudden, kind of all companies newly published, or I should be more accurate, for American, or I guess North American audiences, newly like established, and they're gonna swing with Billy Bat next year. One of the most shocking announcements, I think. I did not see that coming, because it's just like so long, and I don't know if there's like any material that's controversial in it or anything like that, but it's just like, wow, Urasawa, and you can't get this out there? Like, what's going on? Now we don't have to worry about it anymore, so it's going to be coming out next year. From what I believe it said in the press release, they're going to release all 20 volumes, but they're going to have it like kind of in a speedier rate. You're going to have 4 volumes a year, so starting from like June. And I guess it'll be like, it's like every, if you assume they're going to go for like 4 months. So you have August, then October, then December. I guess that'll be 4 for 2026. And then you go from there, it'll be 4 a year. So by 2029 or 2030, it'll be finished. It's okay. I'll be fine with that. It's okay. As long as it's transmitted properly, lettered properly, taken care of, etc., it will be gotten. Because it's like, we just had like Asadora that's been released. That's new from, that's from Viz. That's it. We have had nothing else new from them. And then unfortunately, I think I mean,
Urasawa hasn't been making as much lately, has he? I know he's done a couple of things, but no. I think they've all been fairly short works.
Well, yeah, Asadora is like his latest, one of his latest works. But I think Viz caught up to that. And it's been like on and off with hiatuses, I think, too. So
he's having too much fun making his manga ban YouTube show.
Yeah, right. Well, probably
NHK.
And traveling and everything. I think he was at a convention. I want to say early this year, but it was probably last year. But
oh yeah, and speaking of littering, yeah. There have been two people on first Twitter and now Blue Sky who for years have had in their bios "License Billy Bat." You know, I want to work on it, and the two of them are in fact going to be lettering it. And when this news broke, they already had gotten a contract so they could say, yes, I'm going to be doing it. But it was so soon that they hadn't even changed that out of their bios yet, which some of us were laughing about.
That's also weird news too. Like, how do you get lucky like that? How many years you have to work in the industry and then just know enough people or...
Listen, some like people that have just have those kinds of connections and luck. We call them white men. But I don't actually know if those guys are white or not, so I do know they're guys, but...
Helen just put it out there.
Listen, as somebody who has had to deal with incompetent white men their entire life, I'm allowed to say this. Anyone who's had to deal with incompetent white men their entire lives is allowed to say this.
But yes, I will obviously be looking forward to that. That's like 2026.
Also, I want to like say that I am not like impugning like their abilities or whatever. As far as I know, those guys are like
backtracking right now. She's backtracking right now.
As far as I know, those guys are well respected in the industry, et cetera, et cetera. But when Justin is speaking broadly about how do some people have the luck,
no, it's like you're not wrong. It's like all you know, they're probably like the only ones who say, "I want to let her Billy back. I want to do it too." Like they had to fight to the death. Was it like rock paper scissors? What was the methods? Tell us your secrets.
Well, I believe that traditionally, whoever chooses the duel, their opponent gets to choose the method. So, but now talking about what actually happened to Anime New York City. Justin, what are your overall thoughts from going this year? Was it a fairly good year? Was it kind of an average year? How was it? How was the weather? Hot?
Well, I can't really... Oh, it was definitely perfect. No crazy hot weather. No... in fact, I think it was like pretty cool at one point. I was like, oh man, maybe I should have worn my pants. And I think I did.
Oh, you know it's cool when you're thinking I should have worn pants in August.
No. I think, at one point I wore pants. I think I wore... Yeah. For sure. It wasn't crazy hot or anything like that. So that was cool. Obviously, the most notable, had to laugh about this one, the most notable thing that happened, or one of the most notable things, is the fact that the 7 ran all weekend. That was definitely one of the biggest things that has happened. The MTA realizing that they cannot stop the weebs or many people who want to go travel and enjoy themselves at a convention. And that is probably why Anime New York City can proudly announce that they had one of the largest attendances that they've had, obviously with the having it started on Thursday. That probably helped. Yes, Helen, it was really packed on Thursday.
Even though there wasn't much to do. Did say that like the Artist Alley was open on Thursday.
You had the Artist Alley open, and then you had like obviously the Dealer Tour open and everything like that. So it was stuff to do. Just obviously the main like panel or anything like that was just Netflix. That's really it.
And the American Manga Awards. Did you go or did you not get an invite?
That was I didn't get an invite. But also that was at the Japan Society. That's a bit further away from the Javits Center. So yeah, it's a little bit different
What's
location.
even the point of saying at Anime New York City if it's not going to be actually at
Oh,
Anime
they
New
say
York
that?
City?
I know. I think Anime City supporting it, but I don't think they said that they were hosting it, from what I
I
remember,
mean,
but
I'm
I'll
pretty
look
sure
up
everyone
since.
bills it as, like, in conjunction of Anime New York City, or we're doing this in New York the same
Well,
time as Anime New York City, so, like,
it's
that.
more partnership than anything, from what I understand. So I think that's what they did last year. They were at the Japan Society. They go to Japan Society last year, so.
Not that I hold much stock in those awards anyway, because I do not hold much stock in most awards, but,
But yeah, we're going off track. I didn't go. Don't matter to me. But as for the convention itself, I guess compared to last year, I guess Perilous not as I want to say smooth. It wasn't terrible or anything like that from a management line a line manager standpoint. But there was like one part on Saturday, I think, where they had to figure out how to line certain places or people. Because they just had like so much crowd in like one particular area, so it's like okay, lines over here. Like at one point, I think I can't remember if it was a Yen Press or it was one of these industry panels, I think. Excuse me. I was sitting down. I was just enjoying myself, just waiting out to the panel. And I had to get up at one point. Then because they had to change the line a little bit. Then they told me I had to go back. And then I was like, okay, I think at the second part, I'm just gonna stand up for. Just in case they tell me I have to do some more line manager movement. And I was right. I had to move again. So I did it twice. So I was like, yeah, good thing I can sit back down. Even though I think the panel's gonna start the panel didn't start to like maybe like minute or I wanna say 15, 20, let's say 20, 20 minutes later. So it's like, what was the good thing I didn't sit back down? So yeah, you had that. You didn't have that one panel that had tech issues. I'm sorry, one particular room panel that had tech issues. Like they had apparently the
Cursed.
Tech Hero Hokozono panel that was I guess not big enough or something like that, but then also the room itself had tech issues that delayed the start of that. I went to the Kodansha, no, not Kodansha. What panel did I go to? I think it was yeah, the Empress panel. The Empress panel, it didn't start on time. I think it was like 10, 15 minutes late. It didn't start like it started like 10, 15 minutes late because there were tech issues in that room. So this is obviously not to say like, hey, I managed to get lucky like prior years. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But it's like, oh no, that's unfortunate.
Since I've only been once, I don't remember. Does Anime New York City schedule all their panels like back to back, or do they build like a buffer into the schedule between
There's
panels?
a
Like,
buffer, like a 15, 20-minute buffer. They
but
do
even
have
that
that,
couldn't
and
do
obviously,
help. Okay.
and then obviously certain things have the reservations. So if you reserve a certain panel. If you're there on time, you obviously be in the reserve line. But I'm not even sure how that works this year, to be honest with you. Like, I think
You're just
I'm
using
not
your press
sure.
pass.
Well, no, well that doesn't guarantee you passes either. But some of the like panels I went to, they had more than enough seats, so it was like I didn't have to worry too much about that, which is I guess good. Like I didn't have to worry about getting like dismissed or anything like that. So from that standpoint, that's pretty good. But it makes you wonder like how like regular management like line management like oh you have the reservations line, but then you have the regular pants who didn't actually reserve these panels, but again, not too many. I think I didn't have to go to too many of that. I think maybe like any voice actor ones had those type of things happen, maybe, but I wouldn't know. But yeah, from that standpoint, it was fine. It was okay. It was eh. Not as I think good as last year's or prior couple years, excluding the return where the return to COVID was at the COVID was really bad. The video game. Area didn't seem as crazy as it was last year. I did kind of remember that Crunchyroll Games had like a big thing last year. Maybe that's kind of ch changed my impression, but I think the last they had this one of these gacha games I think there this year. But then they had like again sort of indie-ish, obviously the indie games and everything like that. They had the arcades and stuff like that. But it seemed a little different compared to last year. So it felt a little toned down, even though I know they said it was bigger. But again, I'm not into, like games like that, so I can't say 100% for sure. But then other than that, like I think things were pretty well run aside from that, just in terms of I got the panels pretty easily. I was able to obviously get a seat without feeling like I was crowded, having to worry about a crowding like that. Obviously the dealers hall, you had the dealers and artists at again the same spot. Nothing, no major issues, nowhere to go and everything.
Justin was able to buy some Fire Emblem Three Houses fan art. Three
You
Houses
would think
specifically,
that
although I imagine you probably
you
weren't going to be turning up your nose at other series in the
I
franchise.
definitely turn I definitely turned up nose on everything in the series. No other series
Oh my
matters to me
God.
anymore.
I didn't realize
Give
he's
me
such
Three
a meatus.
Houses or
Give me
death.
death.
No,
Yeah.
that
God.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, he's turned into such an elitist, guys. Ugh.
But no, it is very impressive that there's still, even at all this time, or the outside, so I can find out that it's not to make sure I didn't buy it, right? Because I saw one artist, I saw it, I'm like, oh wait, I think I have that.
Yeah,
Okay,
there were a
good, I
couple of
didn't have
artists
it.
at Otakon where it's like, I definitely recognize your style and I've bought prints from you before. I just cannot remember exactly which ones they are, so I don't want to like accidentally double dip.
I do want to mention that I feel like I'm used to going to like conventions and going to like find like the, when I go to a dealer's hall and go to fight. But like anime disc or Blu-ray and stuff like that to be kind of cheaper, but I didn't see it that. I didn't feel like it. This convention is like, wait, shouldn't I find some good deals here?
Yeah,
Maybe it's just all I actually went and bought a DVD, but still.
I feel like the ones I've been going to for the past couple of years, the Blu-rays and DVDs haven't been cheaper as much unless you buy like directly from like the Discotheque booth, maybe. But now, with the demise of Right Stuff, for the manga ones, you're sometimes able to get deals. But even then, those aren't as good as the old Right Stuff deals used to be, since those used to be 33% off. Crunchyroll does sales like 25% off, and some of these places are doing sales at like 20% off. Plus, you don't have to pay for shipping since obviously you're just picking them up right there, so it kind of evens out a little bit. But yeah, even that's not consistent. Like, I talked to a couple of vendors at Katsucon, saying, oh yeah, I was gonna see if you guys had any deals, and they're like, well, we will at Otakon. And I was like, that is literally in 6 months, like almost exactly 6 months. This is not helping me. And they're like, well, and I'm like, I'm just pointing out to y'all that saying we'll have deals in 6 months is kind of crazy pants to talk about. But anyway.
But yeah, so again, it was nice that I was able to go. It's been a weird kind of month, past month or so for me, and I was actually at one point just wondering if I should go. But I still decided to go anyway, so it feels like it's like a yearly thing. And it's funny enough, it kind of revived like a convention spirit in me a little bit. So I
Giving
think
you a
I'm gonna
nice
go in the end.
distraction, something you need to focus about when you're there. You can't be having other thoughts while you're there. You got to be focusing on how do I get around? How do I get to the next panel? How do
Yeah,
I
that.
keep
Like,
my
get out.
phone from dying?
Oh,
That
no,
whole
my
thing.
phone is good. I'm fine, alright. I'm fine on my phone. But it's always just to be like, get out of my way, or just prayer, I'll push you and do stuff like that. No, I'm not doing anything like that. Say excuse you like a gentleman.
Yeah, I saw somebody posting after Anime New York City that people need to respect the New Yorker maximum of move or get out the way.
And
I was like, ah, this is like the DC walk on the left, stand on the right, walk on the left, stand on the right when it comes to escalators and such.
I do kind of hope for next year that they do have a bit more things to do on Thursday in terms of panels. Again, the one panel thing is kind of just weird. It's kind of weird. But I guess it was obviously enough stuff that they did, that they had the cosplay day, they had the opposite heroes and dealers hall and artists out in the open. So if you went on Thursday, that'd be cool. And then again, it's summertime, then you just have more people showing up. And I guess the guest list was pretty good too this year. I still wish I could have seen the Uma Thurman movies. Too bad I just could not. It just conflicted with too many things I had to do, so I just couldn't go. But yeah, next year things could be better. But I think, again, for a 4-day con, not too bad, not too shabby. So until next year. But now on to the many announcements that happened at the convention and that I went to, and most of it I covered. So I guess I'll just start with Yen Press, which is funny because they obviously had their they had pre-announcements, pre-Anime City announcements, like a week ahead of time. And I'm not sure, it might be one title that stands out, but in terms of like, why did they get this license? Well, I kind of understand why, but yes, they announced they licensed Tank, Gatsuyama, and Shinichi, Sabaragi's A Pen, Handcuffs, and A Common Law Marriage, Iwaba's How to Love a Loser. Kadokawa's been kind of publishing this as chapters, so again, the Kadokawa, the Empress pipeline continues.
Where have they been publishing
Natsu,
chapters for that? Like on like Bookwalker and such?
Bookwalker, Kobo, Kindle, pretty much any
Okay.
other digital service, it's there. Except I think Nook, Barnes and Noble for some reason, I think, from what I remember. I could be wrong about that, but I feel like that, I don't think they sell them, Barnes and Noble, I don't remember. Natsuki Urama's Battle Fund, The Great Powers, Nikimaru's Bad Girl, yes, this is based off the current airing anime, yes, that they got. Mikage Sawamura's Associate Professor Akira Takatsugi EX. Obviously, this is EX extended extra version of the light novel that they're already publishing. Mei Hachiboku and Tsukasa Abe's Frieren, Beyond Journeys and Prelude. Genon, obviously, this is the novel that came out, I want to say a couple years ago, maybe last year, but I think it was. Feels like Frieren's been like. Sort of for Frieren, but yes.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's like, why did
that
Viz.
surprised me since
Why
it
did.
wasn't a Viz title. I mean, since it
You
didn't go to
you,
Viz.
you you say you're surprised, but funny enough, I'm not, because I feel like Viz is kind of patched up on like certain popular things. I think Oshinoko kind of comes to mind, where they
Yeah,
could
but
have
they
put
already
that over,
have
but they
Frieren, so I
passed.
would. So, and they do put out light novels every now and then, so I figured this would have been one of the now times.
It's weird. They're weird about that, but I kind of feel like they have a little bit of a weird pattern with certain popular things. And again, I don't think their light novel division or their novel division is that like big. So they're even fortunate that they're kind of publishing some of the Shonen Jump stuff. And they also just like, well, maybe. Hotoru Keyomo and Kurogane's Legend of the Far East Savior. Yeah, for again, novel. Asura and Spider Lily's Licorice Sakura Recovery Days. Another Licorice Sakura series for me to buy. Ryunosuke and Gesso King's To the Monster I Love. Another Genon imprint. And I forgot to add Genon for this one too, but this is Akumi Akitoge's The Bubble Love of the Mermaid. This is something you might have in Marriage Creators. So again, another novel that I will, I guess, try to get at some point. And again, another novel I just realized is, how did I not add a Genon for this one too? Koshi Tachibana and Tsunako's Casebook of Kurobe Tokisaki, Magic Detective. This is actually a spin-off of the Data Live series. This is involving one of the main character, or one of the notable characters from that series. And so I guess a light of a spin-off, so you have that. And then they will also release a complete omnibus edition of Isshin Inu and Gigi and Pinch's Sailor Zombie. This was they announced they had the digital release for this, I want to say sometime last year, and now they just kind of put it all in one as a print edition.
So, also announcing at Anime New York City, which is unusual. I didn't. Seven Seas doesn't usually go to many conventions. Seven Seas has announced Fujichika's The Delinquent and the Transfer Student, which is a girls' love title. Subuko Aratama's Wild Love, a BL Guide to the Animal Kingdom. Obviously, this is BL. Yuiko's Dear Sister, I Become a Blessed Maiden. This one is also BL, which I feel like is false advertising right there. Kazuki Natsumi's His Little Amber, which is also BL. Kota Nozomi, Norio Sakurai, and Tsune's The Dangers in My Heart, Airship. So this is the light novel version. Light novel and manga of Koichiro Tarumi's History of the Kingdom of the Orcsen, How the Barbarian Orcish Nation Came to Burn Down the Peaceful Elfland. They are going to be putting out an audiobook version of Fuyumi Ono's The 12 Kingdoms under their Siren label. They licensed Kuwahali and Tetsuo Idaishi's Girl Meets Rock. When I saw that title, I had to double check this wasn't one that had already been licensed, since I think chapters for that one had been put out before. And there's just a lot of manga these days about girls and bands. You know, I had to check things. Seven Seas also license Padani's Catnaps Everywhere, Sukeroku's A Prince of a Friend, River Slan's Dungeon Elf, What's a Dungeon About Treasure Chests. No, this is not about Frieren, but this is another K manga to Seven Seas acquisition. So that's a title that Seven Seas got, even though it is published by Kodansha in Japan. And they are also going to be releasing a hardcover deluxe omnibus edition of Kyu Hashida's Die Dark. I believe it's going to be like the first three volumes in there. So this release might go kind of slowly since there's not a ton of Die Dark volumes out at the moment, according to my friends who've kept up with it. I gave it a shot, but you know,
Is it that weird for you?
it's a little weird that it's a little weird that I've got two nickels because I've read two different series about necromancers in space, but it's the techromancy part that usually just does not interest me. In case anyone's wondering what the fuck the other title is, the Locked Tomb book series, so not a manga, but it is also, well, that one's a lesbian necromancers in space, and this one is non-lesbian, so.
To answer before I go move on to answer Helen's earlier thought about 17 showing up to this convention when they don't really go to conventions like that often. According to them, they had a great response to things at Anime New York City last year. That's why they decided to come again.
Gasp! They have a panel and people enjoyed the panel. It would have been more surprising if people hadn't. Then we would have been wondering how the fuck did you fuck that up?
Well, I think it's also just the fact they also have a booth there too, and they're just selling like stuff there. So that's also another thing. I went to their booth on Sunday; they just had nothing left. They had to sell like last copy of this, last copy of that. It's like, oh dang, they actually made buck. Or you gotta remind me, like I think I was talking to somebody there about how like you have to bang enough copies cause the couple 4 days. You gotta find that balance between being enough copies. To obviously sell, but they don't want to have enough copies because you gotta eventually send it back. So
Yeah.
you gotta hope you have that right balance. So I guess Seven Seas had the right balance this time or this year.
Yeah, I follow some artists who do like their own web comics and bring books to sell at various conventions, and they say the same thing. And it's like, books are heavy too, because you're trying to like figure out, okay, how what is the weight limit for my checked luggage, you know? Since sometimes those have a weight limit as well. I definitely saw someone posting this weekend about being at San Japan and a picture depicting them wheeling in like 2 60-pound suitcases and pulling like a 100-pound wagon, and the wagon was just books. But fortunately, they drove to San Japan, so they didn't have to worry about airfare for that one.
Excuse me. The latest one on the panel was J Novel Club. They had a panel on Saturday, like 8:30. It's like, what happened here? But they had the biggest room, funny enough. I think out of all the, well, I was gonna say all the panels, but that's not true. But they had one of the bigger rooms, which is interesting because for them, since they're more on the light novel publishing and always have a certain level of popularity, I don't think they're that big. It was surprising because it's like, oh yeah, and it's late too. They didn't have too much of a crowd, but it was still amusing if they had that big room for themselves. But yes, they lost a bunch of stuff as usual for them. Heisei Owari and Noise, the Isle of Paramounts, Reborn into a Slow Life Among the Strongest in the World. Mitsu Rinoue, Sakura and Suzuno's The Fearsome Witch Teaches Another World Light Novel and Manga. The light novel has a subtitle, Pay Attention in Class, while the manga has the subtitle, Miss Oe's Lesson Plans. Sam had to make the distinction because that's he was basically saying like this is how the publisher named it in Japan, so had to make the distinction. Shichio Kuzu and Yasutaka Isegawa's The Amazing Village Creator, Soul Living with the Village Building G Skill. Rei Kazama and Fujii Suzuki's Royal Spirits or Royal Pain. Give Me a Regular Romance. This is part of their J Novel Heartline. Chizu Kamiko is My Death-Defying Dog, Man's Best Friend, World's Best Savior. Yohi and Utsugi's This Alluring Dark Elf Has the Heart of a Middle-Aged Man. This is the manga, as a reminder, Across Infinite World is publishing the light novel. Yasuaki Mikami and Kinta's Looks Like a Job for a Maid. The Tales of This Miss Super Maid. It's light novel. J Novel Club, meanwhile, is already publishing the manga. And Helen, this is, I guess, personal for me. This is the fourth title that Kenta has illustrated that's now translated to English. Obviously, they have different authors, I think, for all these. Three of these are published by J Novel Club. So this, the Quiet Life of the Blacksmith, and the Frontier, I think the Soldier Sent to the Frontier Life. Can't remember the exact title right now, but J Novel Club has that. While Seven Seas has the Roll Over and Die light novels. What is your secret, Kenta? What is happening here? What is the secret sauce?
Good alcohol, probably, you know, giving along some presents, you know, to, you know, or oh, I mean, I guess it is in vogue these days to now give people chip bags with, you know, envelopes of money in them, so.
Like, it'd be one thing if the writer, but to have like the illustrator just get picked up like this. I feel like it's, I mean, it's not like it's technically unusual. It's just like, I feel like for light, that was kind of odd. I could be wrong about that, but just, I don't know, just like, it's something I was thinking about when I was writing the script, though. Senkaku Mikazuki and Ririto's Miss Blossom's Backward Beauty Standards, Give Me the Ugly Crown Prince, this is another J Novel Heart title. Fukuro and John D's One Last Hurrah, The Great Heroes Explore a Vivid Future. Yuki, Kashiromi, and Io's Fired, but I maintain all the software. Damu Amato and Shirabi's Hair to a Monster Mancer. believe Dracom had announced that Jam was put this on during AX. At their oh, Dr to be clear, Dracom had a panel at AX, and they announced that Jam was gonna have rights to this because obviously they have a partnership. And it's just now Jam was officially announced it because it's ready to go, so it's now on the site now. And the last announcement: Shiwako, Fujiwara, and Inagashima is finding my way to you in this MMO world. This is for the J-Novel Knight imprint, so we got another BL title for their new line.
All right, and then we have a couple of announcements from Kodansha. Surprisingly few, honestly. They are going to be bringing Yuna Hirasawa's My Journey to Her in print. This was one that just won the Eisner for Best Digital Comic. I guess it wouldn't have been able to win that award if it had already been in print. They are also bringing over Luca the Dragon Vet by Yuna Hirasawa.
Same author.
Oh, is that the same one for both of them?
Yep, it's the same, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's cool. And then they are doing a re-release, license rescue, whatever you want to call it, of Beck by Harold Sakushi. Did I get that name right? Close enough.
Sakurishi, I think.
Previously, Tokyo Pop put this out physically, and Kodansha picked it up for a digital release a couple years back, along with some other works by the author. I think there was one about Shakespeare or like seven Shakespeares or something. I didn't read
Seven,
it.
yeah, I think it's what it's called actually. I think it's
Like
what it's
seven
called, like seven.
Shakespeares.
I think it's what it's called actually.
Anyway, so they are now going to be putting it back out in print, this time as 2-in-1 paperback omnibus editions. It looks like they also get to call it Beck instead of having to call it Mongolian Chop Squad like the anime did, because apparently there's some band out there named Beck that got like real uppity or real in people's faces about calling the anime Beck. But yeah, I'm surprised at how few licenses there are from Kodansha, since
And
Kodansha
you know what?
used to be, putting out like so many new digital titles every month, but it seems like they have finally matured, and by which I mean realize that they have to slow down.
Well, I think also more like K-Manga is kind of handling most of that now because it's like you could just wait
But we
get someone on
know
K-Manga.
that Kodansha USA and K-Manga like are, I'm making
Right,
a
I get
hand
what you're
gesture here,
saying.
they're not buddy buddy.
Right, I get what you're saying, but it's like at this point, I'm just focused if for that for Gacha specifically US. They need to focus. They probably need to focus service on like other stuff at this point. But to answer your question about why there's so few licenses, it was actually explained. They were basically like trying to meet their sales like line, like they kind of meet the cutoff, the deadlines, and everything. So they had most of their announcements like during AX and then San Diego Comic Con. So they didn't have too much for AX. I'm not sure they got any
You mean
for.
for
They might have a few for.
Anime New York City?
No. They had Anime Expo and then San Diego
Yeah,
Comic
because you just
Con.
said they didn't have too many
Then.
for AX.
Sorry, I meant too much for Anime New York City. Right, all right.
But so we're going to
And
be
then they're
guessing they're
gonna
probably going to have some for New York Comic Con then in a couple
Yeah, I was gonna
weeks.
say yeah. Yeah, they're gonna have in like yeah, a few months, like month and a week from now, right? They might have something for that too. So yeah, and then I guess because it's kind of an awkward time really for a convention or a major convention, we have all these other conventions on top of it. So that's why they only had like three really new announcements. But yeah, that was the explanation really. And then this is the one panel I couldn't go to because it happened in a kind of awkward time for me. Magamo, they announced the following is going to be on the service. Kudos, my Girl Rice Secrets, Seeking Masaya's 12 centimeters promise with a cruel girl. Okinosuke's I'm That Monster Girl You Once Helped Out, a middle-aged teacher finds unexpected popularity in another world. Kishi Rimo's Dame Doll and the Only Fan in the World. And Fuminosuke's I Open My Manliest to You. And then, actually, I think you bet the. Well, no, wait. Yeah, I guess I will have to take these last few, I guess. These happen also at Anime New York City that I still went to. So, Akuma licensed Asylum of Memories, Takatora-kun to Omega Tachi. Dark Horse licensed John Tachirin's The Credits Roll to the Sea. Shinobu Katani's Liar Game manga is going to receive a TV anime adaptation. After 20 years, the series started in Young Jump in 2020, 25. We got this whole thing about trying to bring stuff back, and I guess we're going to see in the anime industry is like, what can we do that's new? Well, you don't go new, you go way back into the past nowadays, right? Amiigo is going to release a fully authored 1080p HD remastered edition of Osamu Tezuka's 1983 A Time of About 10,000 Years Prime Rose anime special on Blu-ray disc in 2026. Some more Amiigo licenses. That's going to be pretty pristine, I bet. And then the one for me is PIAAL is going to release Kao Yokoyama's SF 3D Chronicles and SF 3D Reprints Edition in winter 2026. As it was explained at the studio produce panel, Kao Yokoyama is kind of like a big deal in like Japan and everything, but in terms of like English like stuff, not much because it's just not been licensed at all. So PIAAL's
Unless
bringing it
you're on
out.
Blue Sky.
I was gonna say like like generally speaking, like because it's like nothing new, like it didn't get much traction on Twitter and Mastodon, but then I go to Blue Sky, like what the heck happened here? That popped off for some reason on Blue Sky. I just tweeted it out, so I had to wait because I was like I had no idea what this was. I had to wait to make sure like it was like okay, this we had a reprint edition and a regular Chronicles edition. Okay, it's two things. And then they said it was a partnership with Zibarin, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. That's it. We're good. They start the actual proper panel. Okay, I'm gonna tweet this now, or send this to my social media buff the buffer. Send it now.
Yeah, because I remember you sending it to me and you were like, "Do you know what this is?" And I'm like, "I don't know what this is." And you were like, "I don't know why this is popping off on Blue Sky only." And
No, yeah, and
I'm looking at the quote retweets. I'm like, "Okay, we got a couple of big name folks retweeting it, but I don't know what, I still don't know what it is. Just that it must be old."
as well as obviously mechs and everything, it's like I guess one of the more founding like mech type of designs and books and everything that just wasn't really available properly in English, especially. Like you probably have to just go to Japan, and I guess my understanding is like he's the author's a really big name in Japan, but again, just hasn't translated. Just had the worst translate elsewhere, but now we actually had this happen, and then that's for mech heads, that's pretty big news. It was like I guess one of the founding like things. That's my understanding from the Blue Sky quote like quotes and everything. That's my understanding really. But yeah, it didn't pop up anywhere else, but it popped up on Blue Skies. I literally like obviously didn't get a chance to look at it until like much later in the day, and I was like, what in the name of what happened here? What happened here? So that was amusing.
I did make your tweet the tweet about fired, but I maintained the software go off a little bit on Blue Sky because I like took some screenshots from the first chapter. I'm like, all right, fair. Her outfit that do not wear the succubus cosplay to work.
What? Don't you normally wear a succubus cosplay to your normal 9-to-5 job, Helen? Is that not a normal thing?
I mean, for me, I never know what day is going to involve me like getting shed on by like old books or having to climb underneath furniture, so yeah, no, I need something with a bit more coverage than that. Also, I am not walking into a government building, showing my full bare ass cheeks. Like, no. Okay, so we've got some regular streaming news as well to talk about. High Dive is going to be adding the Queen Millennium. I think it's anime or is it full movie? I thought it was just an anime. I
It's
thought
the
it was
anime. Yeah, Legend of
anime.
Heroes, yeah, anime.
Yeah, so they're going to be adding that September 2nd, so possibly right when this podcast is going up. Crunchyroll has announced that they're going to be adding in the Senpais and Otonoko movie Sunshine After the Rain, which I think they are streaming as like a series of four episodes, and obviously a sequel to, related to, etc., the TV series Senpais and Otonoko that they did, I think it was last year. Uh-oh, the dog is here. Okay, hang on, I need to retrieve something. Okay,
Yeah,
we're good.
we got dog. Yes, hell, we got more Conan films again. The whole Cinema Saturdays is continuing, and it started yesterday with The 11th Striker, which once again had the great subtitles that you just want to put out there and be like, this is definitely translated by a human being, right? This definitely was not like these secondhand subs sent from some other country or whatever that was used, right? Totally edited by TMS. They got it all locked down, and maybe not. They got this one random error. There was one line that Highbrow said that was not like actually translated. So it's like quality control. Do we know it? Do we speak it? Makes me very concerned about the other Conan movies that I think have not gotten official releases. and how they're going to be like handled. I cannot remember if the 14 Target or the Private Eye Distancy had any official releases. I don't think so. So I'm already concerned. But the 14 Target's coming next week, and the Private Eye Distancy is September 13th. And then I guess with this kind of schedule, I imagine they're going to announce the next round after that, and probably the next collection, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. And then go back to streaming, more streaming stuff. Remnant is going to stream Yanmar Mirror Paths to My Future. This is already available on Samsung TV Plus now. It's going to stream in North America, and it's on its anime YouTube channel, and in South America on Annie Onegai and Army Onegai's YouTube channel September 12th.
Now you can watch it even if you don't have a smart Samsung fridge.
Or whatever it's Samsung TV Plus, whatever that is. Whatever that is. And I guess just to also kind of close out my Anime New York City adventures, I didn't put it there because it was like, it's probably more fitting as streaming news, especially since G Kids got some more stuff that they gonna have in theaters. But they're gonna have a 4K restoration of Perfect Blue October 3rd. So am I willing to go to a theater to see Perfect Satoshi Kon's Perfect Blue in 4K? Decisions, decisions.
I hope this means they're gonna do a re-release of it then, since I have been lazy and have not yet bought the Satoshi Kon Blu-ray. So this sounds nice if they're gonna
No,
do that.
no, it sounds awful because I already bought Perfect Blue. So it's like, no, I don't want you to be happy waiting and everything. Go
Justin,
buy what's
he's
out there now.
incapable of being happy for others. And also from G Kids, they're gonna be streaming. Or they're going to be releasing the Jujutsu Kaisen Execution compilation film on December 5th. They're going to be screening both the Japanese and English dub versions. And then, let's see. Hang on, I need to click through this article real fast. Oh yeah, more G Kids. They're going to be streaming the US premiere of the anime version of All You Need Is Kill at Anime New York City. No, at New York Comic Con this year, not even in New York City. The screening is billed as a North American premiere, but G Kids confirmed with ANN that it is the US premiere. So I guess Canada or someone is getting it first. So this is, I don't know if it's a movie or a TV series.
Should be a movie.
Okay. But G Kids will be streaming that, or not streaming. We'll be doing a special showing of that early. And then, do we have a date for the regular release? I'm having to skim the ANN write-up real fast.
Don't believe so. They've just been doing like premieres of this for at conventions or screen or special like festivals, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it looks like they don't have a date for a wide release yet or a physical media release yet, so TBD. Man, G Kids is just really cleaning up. They are also doing a streaming, not, why do I keep saying streaming? Screening of the anime film 100 Meters. They're going to do it a Los Angeles opening on October 10th. I guess so that means that it will then be like Oscar eligible if they're doing that special run. And they are going to be doing a more wide release on October 12th through the 14th. So I think they're going to be doing. They're definitely doing it in Japanese, and I don't know if they're also doing a dub for it.
Don't think it's been announced yet. Don't think it announced it yet,
Yeah,
if they
but
are.
at the very least, it will have a language track, which is Japanese. It would be very strange if they didn't. And then. Okay, this last one isn't G Kids. You can take it, Justin.
Oh, okay, fine. But it's simple enough. My Mamoru Hosoda's latest film, Scarlet, was planned for a North American release December 12th, but it's not happening. I guess they were just delay it, so the wide release is going to happen early 2026. So I mean, it could be January for all we know, but
Is the Japan release also getting delayed, or is it just the
I don't
international
think so.
versions?
I think it's just international from what I've read. Let's see. Yeah, I think it's just. Yeah, I think. In fact, yeah, it's opening in Japan November 21st. I don't think it's been delayed there. So yeah, I think it's just US only.
Oh, and now
All right,
we
Helen.
get to find out later if the dog chewing her paws is gonna show up in the audio.
Oh, great. Oh, lovely. Let's get on to the weird news, Helen. We got some weird news, in some unfortunate ways. Some weird, as usual, strange ways, but something like, oh man, this is actually kind of unfortunate. I guess starting with whatever happened with Crunchyroll and them not uploading things.
Ironically, that very day this happened, I was actually asking on Blue Sky, I was like, hey, is Necronomicon and the Cosmic Horror Show taking a week off? Like, normally an episode would be up by now, but I'm not seeing one. And someone responded with, no, it's not taking a week off, just seems like it's delayed. And that wasn't even the only show that was delayed.
Yeah, they had a list of shows that got delayed, Ellen. So starting with Rascals I Dream of Santa Claus episode 7, Detective Conan episode 1171, Rent a Girlfriend episode 44, A Couple of Cuckoos season 2 episode 7, Tales of Crazy episode 8, Neko Nomiko and the Cosmic Horror Show episode 8, Turkey Time to Strike episode 7, and Mr. Osamatsu season 4 episode 7. All either saw like a lengthy hour delay or a one day delay. Or I guess even more than that. Which I would have loved to have been able to find out for Detective Conan if that happened, but or let's see, Detective Conan and A Couple of Cuckoos I am watching. I'm just way behind on both, so if I was caught up I would have been experiencing that, but I'm way behind, so I didn't experience any of that. But hell, how many of you know this isn't like the first time this has happened for Crunchyroll. I'm not saying this happens often, but sometimes on occasions for like their dubs, they don't like have a clear like, oh yeah, this is gonna drop at this particular time or anything like that, right? Like they're, oh, it's gonna, you have the schedule, it's gonna exactly come out at this time. You don't have that anymore, then you're not gonna know.
But it's one thing when it's
So
like a single dub episode that gets delayed. It's a bit different when it's like over half dozen subbed episodes that are all delayed. It's like, do you guys only have one guy with the password to like the file transfer account to get them onto the servers? Were they out sick that day? Like, what's going on here?
Did they finally realize we were publishing? I'm sorry, we were uploading too much anime. I'm overwhelmed. Did that happen?
Did you guys go over your limit with your WeTransfer or FileZilla account? Maybe Crunchyroll uses an in-house content transfer system, but I don't know. I get the impression that Crunchyroll's cheap enough they probably didn't want to build something out, so they're probably using commercial software. Unlike my work, where we have built our own, and I get so many emails every week being like, "Is CTS down? It's not working for me." You know it's bad when I've got friends at other institutions yelling at me, going, I can't do various things because you guys are updating your systems for 3 weeks. It's like, I'm sorry. I'm not involved in that one, though. And another tough scene, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice is getting adapted into an anime by a studio I hadn't heard of before. It's called
Quisida.
Quiz.la. I hadn't heard of them before, but some other folks had, and so folks were pointing out on Blue Sky that when you run the studio's website through a machine translation, it reads something along the lines of, "We challenge the conventional wisdom of the existing methods, collaborate with partner companies with high technical capabilities, and utilize the latest technologies such as AI to evolve production processes and expressions, thereby bringing about digital disruption in the anime industry." That statement says a lot of things that they probably didn't mean for it to say, but this made people start wondering, are they going to be using AI in making this anime then? Because there's quite a bit of other things that were supporting it, like they've also been boasting proudly about its use of AI. They have a pre had a presentation up about how 60% of the animation is being produced using AI for another upcoming series. They had a partnership with Bad Azuki, the NFT Azuki, not the manga Azuki one.
It did? I don't remember that. Sorry, I can't remember that. Sorry.
I'm just
That's
reading from
cool.
the PC Gamer article where someone has a
Okay,
link to
got
that.
you.
Yeah.
Okay,
I
got
try
you.
not to remember the Rotten Azuki as much because, I don't support them. It got to be enough that the company had to post on the site formerly known as Twitter. They posted a statement saying that no AI is being used, and the translation was sent to PC Gamer via Crunchyroll, said, "We're incredibly excited to bring Sekiro No Defeat exclusively to Crunchyroll in 2026. The whole anime adaptation is fully hand-drawn 2D animation created by the talented teams at Quiz.la, Arc, and Kadokawa." So, not so hot on AI now, huh? You're proudly boasting of it, but then when people go, "Are they using AI? Are they using AI?" they're going, "No, just kidding. We're not. Sorry. Bye."
Yeah, we're living in some deep crap, aren't we?
We are like, living in interesting times, and I wish they would stop being interesting.
Yeah, it's getting to that point where, because of who you're associated with, like, yes, the studio allegedly, or it has, literally, I say allegedly, but no, they actually put out in bold on their site about their...
"We love AI. We use AI. Look how much we use AI."
Yes. But, of course, this anime has apparently nothing to do with it, but it's just using parts of the studio alongside, like, other types of production methods from other companies, I guess. So, yeah, and unfortunately, it's probably not the only anime we'll question moving forward, because we're just in those typical times. So, yes, it's very interesting just how we were handling. I guess we had to put statements or do things like add who is localizing or translating this particular anime on Crunchyroll nowadays. I guess that's what we got to do now.
Yeah, Crunchyroll has started actually including translator credits on a couple of shows now, like three or so. We've seen it on like Hanako-kun, Silent Witch, and one other that somebody noticed over on Blue Sky. And it seems like maybe this is simply because people have been asking for years, we would like to be able to credit the people who are translating anime, or maybe this is kind of a subtle way to be like, "Look, we're not doing AI translations. I swear to God, there was a real person involved with this." I don't know why the dog's making noises.
we are really living in a time where a publisher can literally make a blog post and say we've been robbed, and kind of be in a way that's true, but not with the way you think. I'm
it's
always thinking
physical.
Like, oh yeah, they're
physical. I mean,
robbed.
It is kind of a physical robbery, so.
It feels a little different. I'm thinking like actual like people went in and just said, "You're going to take that." Bam.
I mean, Diamond did say, "Oh, we're just going to take the stock that, you know, you had deposited with us for distribution, and we're going to like keep it and sell it off for ourselves instead of like giving you the money back for it," along the lines of, you know, presumably how the contract was written. So,
yeah, so we haven't talked too much about the whole Diamond Alliance, one of these companies, the whole thing where somebody's gonna get bought, or obviously Diamond went to bankruptcy, and that's caused a lot of publishers to like move on and everything, different distributors and everything, and it was supposed to get bought by, I think, Alliance, and that I think fell through, and now somebody else has, I can't remember who now.
Yeah, it fell through like a day beforehand. I think the buyer discovered that they did not actually still have like all the Magic the Gathering contracts that they had thought, and that was going to be a major loss. So, as I understand it, I think a lot of the books in Diamond's warehouses right now are just like stuff that they had before everything started going down. I don't think anyone's been like shipping them much, if anything, in terms of like new product to move through, since Diamond does not seem like a very stable company right now.
Not even close. But for Fantagraphics, yes, they have been fighting off JP Morgan Chase Bank and former, and obviously Diamond.com distributors, who are essentially colluding to steal their books and using the resulting profits toward the cost of Diamond's bankruptcy.
Yeah, JP Morgan Chase is the company that's handling Diamond's bankruptcy, in case people are wondering how that's connected.
Yeah. And then obviously Diamond's trying to legally seize all the books held on consignment, but Fantagraphics has erased all those books, so it's like, what the heck?
Yeah, it's not what like Fantagraphics sold the books to Diamond and then Diamond is reselling them. Like, that's not the nature of their agreement, as any of us understand it from the statements Fantagraphics has said. So Fantagraphics is getting money to lawyer up, or increase the number of lawyers.
And not the only publishers. I think it sounds like there are other publishers that are also attempting to fight this too in court. So it's not just one thing, it's gonna take a while, that's for sure. But in the meantime, Fantagraphics had to do like a sale.
The sale's gone. Sale's over now, but
Sale's over now, yeah. But they have to do that just to, like, be like, yeah, we still need money because it's gonna be tough. So
The write-up on their sites includes phrases like through the arcane chicanery of bankruptcy law, and says that this purchase of Diamond happened back on May 16th, and since then, the dog is having a moment. Fantagraphics has not received any of their payments from Fantagraphics since then. So any comic book stores that have ordered books from Diamond and then sold them, none of that money has gone back to Fantagraphics. That has been strictly to Diamond. And yeah, this is one of those things where it sounds like it should be illegal, and I guess we're just gonna need to prove that in court. And Fantagraphics is definitely not the only publisher having to deal with this. I've seen nothing specific, but I had seen about Diamond's plans to do this before, and people going, oh, that's gonna fuck everybody over.
that is, it's just like, you think you want, you, one thing can't be weird, and it just gets weirder and weirder and
Never tell the
somehow
universe something can't
weirder.
get weirder. It just goes, hold my beer.
It really does. It really does. I'm gonna transition this over to something at least kind of hilarious. And it's weird, but it's hilarious weird. So the creator of the disastrous of Osaki K, Shuji Aso, on August 3rd, he chanced a counter, sort of. While he was at the bookstore, he had overheard two women exclaim, "Oh, the disaster of Osaki K!" While he was at the store, he was like, "Oh yeah, people are looking at his grave, good times with that." He then caught that the women were looking at like a poster showcasing the very cover art that guest artists drew for the Dragon Ball 40th anniversary manga set. So it wasn't just as of that. It was that. At that point, I was just imagining that their conversation was going like, because he obviously didn't go up to them. He was just imagining things like, who's the person who drew the very this guy? Who is the person who drew Volume 37 variant cover? I know all the others, but I don't know him. I'll Google him. It's Kurosaki K. You should know who that is, right? So it's always that fun creator going to a bookstore or whatever and stumbling on that situation. It's kind of funny.
All right, and then I can cover the last two, kind of together. The VTuber Iron Mouse made Rolling Stone's top 25 most influential creators of 2025 list, which is kind of funny, but it does make sense since she is, a fairly big name in the English language VTubing world and did through her own story, not admission, since that would sound like she did something wrong, but. When she announced that she was going to be leaving VShoujo and why, that kind of brought down the entire studio. So yeah, that is pretty influential. Although I imagine that Rolling Stone was making this list before that point. They might have even finalized the list before that point. And also, VTuber Suisei Hoshimachi makes the cover of Forbes Japan 30 Under 30. So it is the magazine Forbes, the Japan version. With an anime girl just on the cover, in 30 Under 30, which is very strange, very funny.
Very weird. Very weird.
I did like the song that she did for Jeequawks, but VTubers, they're just everywhere these days.
They are everywhere, and we just can't escape them. You can try, but you can't.
Now
But it's living,
that's like
right?
a zombie premise right there.
But it is amusing to see how you can go. I think of Forbes and everything, 30 for 30, like all these young entrepreneurs and business people and everything just being on the cover and everything like that. And now we got VTubers.
I mean, sometimes they do entertainers, for 30 under 30, so
Right, sorry, that's
VTubers
what
would fit
I
under there, but yeah,
right.
you definitely
I'm
don't think
sorry.
of quite that. Yeah, this feels a
Right,
little
I
bit
should apo
more.
I
Less
will
serious.
apologize. I would just apologize because I meant like a young, like the most obviously notable people who would make up Forbes, not just business people, like, yeah, entertainers, people like young people, exactly like that. So more like that. I'm not thinking YouTube is 10 years ago for sure.
I mean, were any of us thinking about VTubers 10 years ago, 10 years ago? Like,
You're right. You're right.
when was the first? When was I Kizuna?
Yeah, I can zoom in like what?
Yeah, I'm gonna look
20.
up.
Okay. Yeah, she.
She debuted in 2016, so 9 years ago. So we
Oh,
were definitely
yeah,
not thinking
almost.
about it. Yeah,
Yeah, not even close.
she wasn't the very first VTuber, but she was like I think we can all agree the one who like made it mainstream.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, I think that's an episode, Helen.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, I'm sure I probably need to go check downstairs and make sure the dog didn't like start eating out of the trash can while I was recording.
Yeah, we're gonna let's hope that didn't happen. So where can we find you, Helen?
Well, once I get back from dog sitting at my cousin's place, which is why my audio sounds funky, I just keep dog sitting since gotta make money for those conventions somehow. Small Press Expo's in a couple weekends, and I want money to buy an obscene number of zines, and I will be talking about whatever I buy over on my Blue Sky account at Wandering Dreamer. And the other podcast I co-host is called Manga in Your Ears. You can find it under that name on most, if not all, podcasting services. And on Blue Sky, we're kind of all combined under the Taiku Podcast account. That is T-A-I-I-K-U Podcast. And also the name of the website if you want to listen to us on the web instead of on an app. I would say I don't know if you can listen to us at like 1.5 speed on the web versions. That's how I listen to all my podcasts. But dear God, I must sound insane if anybody tries listening to anything I'm on at 1.5 speed. Like, I must just sound like bananas. It's really funny podcasting with folks who I normally listen to their podcasts on at 1.5 speed, and then I'm just talking with them at regular speed. That is pretty funny, though.
You can find me still somehow on Twitter. Once again, more Three Houses stuff, more random junk or stuff that I just see online or whatever. Or maybe Conan stuff. I've been tweeting more Conan stuff, weirdly enough. At @Kami_Nomi. I was checking out Yoshi. Twitter accounts. Sorry. Social medias, Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, I would see
Instagram, Facebook.
Instagram, yes, although that's really when I like conventions and stuff.
Yeah, I keep forgetting I'm also logged into that one. It's like, oh yeah, I could be taking hall photos at conventions and posting that, but I keep forgetting.
Facebook, I don't want to say it's retired, but I don't think I've accessed it in like a year or so. So it's kind of retired at the moment. But definitely check out theyoshi.com starting either late this week or early next week for Anime New York City Thoughts coverage. I went to a couple panels, gonna obviously write recaps of those. But again, once again, find my thoughts on the convention as usual. So definitely check out theyoshi.com for that, and also look out for reviews and futures. And almost forgot. Please check out the Oshikaga Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or add us to any RSS you have. Subscribe by email. Feel free to leave a rating and review on all these services. Those are always good things to do. Until next time, everybody. Bye.
See ya.